What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, it's going to be a little bit shorter, but I want to touch on one topic in particular that could definitely affect the Wizards draft decisions at number six and possibly beyond it, and it's the saga of Ace Bailey. There have been a lot of recent reports all around, from ESPN to Yahoo to a bunch of different outlets that have basically said Ace Bailey is refusing to work out for certain teams within the top end of the draft. And I kind of want to get into those rumors, you know, let you know how I feel about it, how it could potentially affect the Wizards at number six, and kind of go from there. So again, going to be a shorter episode, but wanted to kind of give you my thoughts on everything that's happening with Ace Bailey. So if you're not familiar, Ace Bailey, consensus number three pick, went to Rutgers alongside consensus number two pick, Dylan Harper. They didn't have much success, didn't make the tournament, barely made the Big Ten tournament. You know, Ace Bailey was measured at 6'10", this great scoring forward all season. He actually, I think, measured at 6'8" at the draft combine, so smaller than some expected, but he has good length to possibly be a switchable defender. He's really a guy that hangs his hat on scoring the basketball, you know, a tough shot maker. And, you know, while he made those tough shots at Rutgers, right, it was, you know, the ability to maybe not be able to separate. Like, why are you taking so many contested shots when you know, realistically against lesser competition, if the third pick, you should be getting yourself to your spots, getting open looks. But that's another debate, right? He had a solid season at Rutgers, you know, had some games where he went like 9 for 9 and had 20 plus, 30 plus points, and a game of 39 points as well against, you know, collegiate opponents. Like, he had his time, right? But there were also games where he shot 3 of 17. He kind of shot his team out of the game. And really couldn't find his rhythm again against college competition. So there are some, you know, definite intriguing, you know, prospects to his game, and there are some downsides and some doubters as well, and those are warranted. But the main thing is upside. Like, he has all the tools to be a legit three level scorer at the NBA level. He needs to add strength and obviously needs to get more consistent from all, you know, areas of the floor. But he's a guy that encompasses a lot of skill, right? And that's kind of the draft profile on him is, you know, maybe he won't be able to contribute from day one, but, you know, if he's drafted to the right team with the right developmental system, the sky's the limit for a guy like him. I feel like the KD comps are very tired. I think they were retired when Jabari Smith came into the league and everyone said he was the next KD, and he's been nothing close to that. So I think that's kind of a reach. Brandon Ingram has been someone that has been comped to him, kind of a more lengthy lanky wing that can score the basketball. You know, maybe, you know, certainly that's a decent comparison as well. But you know, there's definitely some that are very high on him and have him at number three, and there's some that are way lower on him and have him, you know, near the back end of the top 10. But that's kind of the draft profile on him. Me personally, I have him at five on my board. I've had my own concerns throughout the pre-draft process, and some of the recent reports have definitely added to that concern. It all kind of started, and I'll get you caught up with some of the reporting. It all kind of started, I believe, yesterday. So by the time I'm recording this, it will be June 17th, so Sunday, because ESPN released their latest mock draft. And to everyone's surprise, you know, ESPN had Ace Bailey as their number three consensus prospect throughout most of the pre-draft process, right behind Flagg and Harper. And they deviated on Sunday with their latest mock draft. They had him at six, falling to the Wizards at number six. They had Con Knipple going to Charlotte at number four, Trey Johnson going to Utah at number five. I believe they had VJ Edgecombe going three to Philadelphia, who has reportedly, you know, a lot of interest in VJ Edgecombe at three. And you kind of sit back if you're the Wizards and you say, oh, okay, like we were pretty devastated when we didn't get a top three pick, because this is a guy that a lot of Wizards fans had circled all season long, realistically, as a potential asset that they could get, high upside prospect for a rebuilding team. You know, it would make a lot of sense, right? And you kind of sit back and you say, okay, like, you know, Ace Bailey could be a really good prospect. If he falls to six, I think that would be terrific. Like, why, you know, why is that happening? You kind of sit back and you question it for a second. You don't expect a prospect like Ace Bailey, who's been touted as a top three, top four, top five prospect shoo-in, to fall to the Washington Wizards at six. So when that happens, you know, a lot of Wizards fans, yes, they're ecstatic, but a lot of them were also sitting back and saying, well, why? Why is Ace Bailey going to fall? And the dominoes have started to fall the last couple of days, and especially on, I guess technically Thursday morning, but you know, Wednesday night when ESPN reported that Ace Bailey, who had a pre-draft workout slated, I believe, for either the 19th or 20th of June with the Philadelphia 76ers, canceled that workout. Pretty last minute as well, canceled that workout. It comes after reports from ESPN that stated, and I want to get these right, that stated Bailey reportedly refused to work out for several teams in his draft range, which is the 3 to 5 draft range, I would assume. In that draft range, he reportedly refused to work out for some of those teams. So that would leave, you know, now definitely Philly, who he canceled the workout for, Charlotte, maybe Utah as well, and maybe even Washington. We don't know. It could also be that he refused to work out for the Wizards. Now, I don't know why. I think Washington is probably the one of, if not the best places that Bailey could go for his development. You know, a team that's really, you know, bought into the developmental pathway, certainly way different than Philadelphia, who is, you know, proven to try to contend next year. There's reports today that they want to run back their big three. So I understand Bailey not wanting to go there. But certainly, you know, certainly Washington, Utah, Charlotte, those are teams I think would be great fits for Bailey. And he seemingly in that range has canceled some workouts, refused to work out for some of those teams. Apparently, you know, Bailey also, this is from ESPN, wants to land in a place where he has proven pathway to minutes, a proven pathway to stardom. Again, I think he has that in all three of Charlotte, Utah, and Washington. Like, this isn't me just sitting in here and trying to like position everything so that Bailey falls to six. Like, I don't know why. And when you're Washington, a player of this caliber, or you think has such good upside, is kind of, you know, canceling workouts and doing all of this stuff in the pre-draft, it raises some concerns. It raises some certain, you know, red flags. And all that obviously leads up to the latest reports of Bailey canceling that pre-draft workout in Philly. You know, apparently another report from ESPN was that Bailey was seeking a pre-draft promise from the Sixers before the workout. He didn't get that promise, and so he canceled it. That's quite concerning. I mean, I understand the basis of pre-draft promises, but a lot of that is after your workout. Like, oh, you just, you know, you came in here and you dominated. Like, if you get to us where we are, we're taking you, and that's a promise. Like, that's fine. But to say, hey, like, here's my college tape that anybody else could submit their college tape, you need to promise me that you're going to draft me at 3 before I fly out to Philly and show you why you should or shouldn't draft me at 3. I mean, to me, like, and I'll touch on this in a bit, but that kind of screams maybe a lack of confidence in one's game. Like, if you were really like that, like, you wouldn't need a pre-draft promise from a team before you work out for them. You would just say, hey, like, that would be great, but I'll come out to you. You'll fly me out. I'll be in a hotel. Everything's free. All I got to do is show up, show out, and you'll draft me at 3. Like, it's pretty standard for Ace Bailey. Like, if he does what people think he's capable of in that workout, he knocks down his shots, he shows why he has been the consensus number 3 prospect pretty much all year, there's no reason for Philly, even in their current state of contention, to not select him at number 3. But it seems clear to me that, number one, either he's very, you know, unconfident in his current game and maybe doesn't think he could, you know, stack up to Trey Johnson shot making or to Vijay Edgecombe and his athleticism and some of the other prospects like Konkanipal in that range, or he simply just doesn't want to go to Philly. And that, I hope it's the second. I hope it's the latter, because I can understand that a little more. You know, a team that's contending might not be able to use Bailey. And as we've seen, you know, in the past, you know, players that get drafted to these teams that are trying to contend don't always work out. I mean, James Wiseman and Golden State, like, they won the title, right? But they really didn't. They didn't really focus on that development. They were focused on winning. Kuminga certainly hasn't worked out there. And you got to think, like, if those guys were drafted to other places that really needed them and bought into them and bought into their development and were developing and growing as a team alongside them, you know, maybe their careers turn out vastly different. And so maybe a guy like Bailey sees that, and it's not just Kuminga and Wiseman. There's other, you know, examples, but maybe Bailey and his camp sees that and says, you know, we don't want that. We want to go to a team that is definitely going to utilize us and grow and develop with us and buy into us. Where I don't understand that is like Charlotte and Utah, as well as a team like Washington, you know, your Brooklyn's, your New Orleans, like they have those assets and abilities to develop you as well. They're not a team that's going to contend right away. So the fact that he's canceled multiple workouts, and those reports were even before or instead of cancel, just refused to work out for teams. And that comes even before he finally scheduled one with Philly and then canceled it last minute because apparently they didn't give him a pre-draft promise. Like, these are all red flags. These are all concerns that I have. And you got to sit back and I guess if you're the Wizards, say, yeah, look, he has shot-making ability. He has a good frame and measurables. He has a really high ceiling and something we're definitely looking for in the draft. But do these you know, red flags outweigh whatever potential could be there? You know, I don't know. And it raises real concerns. Like, if you're asking me for my takeaways, and this is pretty much, I'll get to this now, honestly, because this is the real reason for it. I have my own concerns. If I'm the Wizards, right? Like, I've just reset this whole franchise. This was a team that was in the middle of nowhere, had no culture really of accountability. I mean, you were paying a guy that, you know, 2 years into Phoenix, nobody wants and is saying is the worst contract in the league. You're paying him top dollar with a no trade clause to go 35-47 every year and not even sniff the play-in tournament or the playoffs or real contention. And you know, the Wizards front office comes in here, they completely change the way that this team operates, rebuild right away, trade Beal, trade Porzingis, eventually trade Kuzma, got that quote big three that was really nowhere near a big three. And time and time again, they've stressed the rebuild, they stressed development and taking time and building things the right way. They stretched a culture of accountability and development and you know, trying to build this, I guess, like the way OKC has, you know, a development pathway, but building a culture of work ethic and buy-in and want-to and togetherness and team and all that stuff that you want in a winning culture and a winning environment. Like, does Ace Bailey kind of cancel that out? Like, you don't necessarily want to draft guys with red flags like this. I mean, this is a guy that's, you know, messing up everything in that draft range before even conducting a workout. Like, there are certainly some actual red flags that would make me sit back and say, look, if the top five goes as I guess expect if Bailey were to fall, you know, Flag, Harper, Edgecombe, Knipple, Johnson. If I'm the Wizards, and this could be very controversial, and the comments could tear me up for this, but like, if Jeremiah Fears is there, and the Wizards reportedly from my guy Troy Haliburton conducted a pre-draft workout with him, and are really high on a guy like Fears, and he's worked out for a plethora of teams. All of his Instagram stories and all the content has just been him in the gym every single day. He's only 18, and he just led a team to the tournament. Like, all of these intangibles, right? And the Wizards really like him versus a guy like Ace Bailey that has yet to work out for the Wizards. And by all indications, I don't know why I should expect him to work out for the Wizards. There's a week before the draft. By the time this is reported or this is posted, 6 days, so less than a week. So if you don't bring him in for a pre-draft workout, you're really enamored with Fears and like everything with the interviews and everything. Why would you draft Bailey? Like, it would really just be for the big swing upside, and you realistically like that because there's so many red flags there already in this pre-draft process, and to where, you know, as much as he could, you know, pop as a prospect, how high his ceiling could be. The fact that you're sitting here and saying if he falls to six, a guy that the Wizards would have been enamored to get third picked, presumably draft him just a month ago. If he falls to six, you're legitimately questioning if you should take somebody else, because why have all of these other teams decided to pass on him? You know, there's probably merit there. If he falls to six, there's a reason for it. And if you're the Wizards, I think it's a real thing. You got to look in the mirror and say, do we think that this is a guy that fits our culture, fits that what we're trying to build? Like, while his ceiling could be so high, you know, there's only so much that you can take in the pre-draft process to where you just can't overlook it. And if you're the Wizards, that's possibly, you know, there with some of those character concerns. I mean, it's a guy that reportedly interviewed quite poorly, if, according to some teams at the combine. You know, some scouts didn't like some of his answers. I've seen reports that said, you know, he's been, you know, taken as a cocky player that maybe thinks that he's a little bit better than he realistically is. There were some reports earlier today that indicated his immature personality. And I should like say, like, all these reports aren't saying he's a bad kid or that he's a bad person. But the example that I read on a Twitter post was that, like, he's a kid that'll goof around during drills and goof around during practice and not necessarily take himself or the team or the practice/workout serious. Like, again, these are all reports, and that's why I'm stressing reportedly, because, again, none of this is my information. I'm just trying to regurgitate everything that I've taken in over the last 24 to 48 hours since that ESPN article dropped. But basically, this is all that's out there on Flag. And given those reports, there are some concerns. And one of the biggest concerns I have is like the not working out. Like, why? He's the only U.S.-born prospect in this draft class that is yet to complete a pre-draft workout for any team, group, individual, anything like that of those sorts. He's the only one. Why? Like, that's a major red flag. And if you're a big Bailey fan, you can still sit back and you have to admit that there's a bunch of baggage that's probably coming with this pick. Apparently, his agent is Sharif Cooper, who used to play for the Hawks. I believe he's overseas now. Apparently, his agent is Sharif Cooper's dad, and there's been some issues there with him and how he handled his son from what I read today. And it could just be that Sharif Cooper's dad is kind of handling everything from Bailey. Maybe Bailey's getting some bad advice from people around him, especially his agent, because, you know, the agent is who sets these workouts and then does all this stuff for the player. So again, it could be that Bailey's fine. It's just, you know, his agent's messing everything up and his agent's kind of dictating where he goes in the draft. I mean, we saw this with like Eli Manning a couple years back, and I guess it worked out for him with the Giants, but nonetheless, like, this is something we really haven't seen, this posturing from an agent or a prospect, I guess, trying to force his way to a situation. So I don't know if it's he wants to come to Washington. You know, based on the reports that Bailey wants to go to a proven pathway to stardom, you know, somewhere we'll have high usage and get minutes. Like, that screams the Washington Wizards. I mean, just look at the three rookies they had last year. They, I'm pretty sure, finished 1, 2, and 3 in minutes, or at least throughout the first like 60 plus games before George missed a bunch of action and Tsar missed a bunch of action. They were 1, 2, and 3. Bob Carrington played all 82 games and led all rookies in minutes by a substantial margin. Like, the Wizards play their young guys. So if they're looking to a proven pathway to minutes and stardom and usage off rip, like, yes, Washington probably makes the most sense. Again, I think Utah would too. Like, Utah has a lot of guards. They need a wing and a forward. He would fit very well there. I think he'd fit quite well alongside a guy like Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. So again, like, while he would fit well in Washington, and I'd welcome, you know, the fact that he falls there and the Wizards even have a chance to draft him, I don't know why he wouldn't want to play in Charlotte or Utah. But I keep coming back to the reports that he's reportedly refused to work out for a couple teams in his draft range. To me, before Sunday, his draft range was anywhere from 3 to 5. I'd be shocked if he fell to 6. So that indicates to me that before even refusing or canceling that workout for Philly, he probably refused to work out for one of Charlotte or Utah, and possibly both. So again, there's all this reporting going on, and I just felt the need to kind of give my thoughts on the whole situation. Basically, where I'm at, to reiterate and recoup the whole episode, I'd be pretty ecstatic if a guy of his caliber were to fall to 6. But again, when that happens and that slide happens, you have to sit back and say, yes, I'm excited for it. He has really good upside. But why is he here? Like, why are all these teams passing on him if he's this unbelievable prospect? And if you're the Wizards, you got to sit back and say, you know, let's do our homework. And they will, right? I'm sure they will. And it's happened before where teams draft guys that don't bring in for pre-draft workouts. It's happened all the time. But if you're the Wizards, you at least got to sit back and say, there are all of these red flags. Let's sift through them. And if the Wizards do that, which I know they will, and they come back to, you know what, he's just too good of a prospect to pass on, we think that we'll be able to get into our system, into our culture, and get everything right, we just can't pass on him, that fine by me. I mean, this is a guy that I have 5 on my board. If you get him at 6, that's good value, great value, honestly, considering most people have him as their third best prospect. So maybe it's a can't miss opportunity. But again, if you heard all the reporting today, and I hopefully, you know, I kind of summarized it in a few minutes, it's definitely worth taking a step back and reevaluating how high you have Bailey and if you would be willing to take someone over him if he falls to 6. If I had to guess now, like, if he falls to 6, I'd be shocked if the Wizards don't draft him based on their patterns of draft history, liking these, you know, wings that have size and defensive versatility possibly and can certainly score the ball. You know, this is a Wizards team that needs scoring and needs offense. So I think they would be enamored. Apparently, the Wizards front office likes what they see from Bailey, according to reports. Hasn't had an official workout, and you know, I doubt the Wizards would reveal that. They haven't revealed anything with workouts, realistically. But you know, it's definitely a situation to monitor now if you're a Wizard fan. Like, if you asked me 3 days ago, I would say it's not worth looking into really in the slightest. But with all this reporting, I felt the need to just, you know, unpack it a little bit. So hopefully this was a helpful episode to kind of get you up to date on Bailey. Like, I would still be pretty surprised if he were, you know, available at six. I think a team like Utah would snag him up in a heartbeat if he falls to five. But with that being said, like, you know, it's definitely something to monitor. So I'm going to wrap up the episode there, kind of a shorter one, but hopefully you guys enjoyed. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. Like, if Bailey falls to six, are you jumping to the bit? Are you sending in that draft card as quick as you can to draft him? Or are you considering, you know, picks elsewhere because you are just, you know, a little too taken aback by some of the reporting, some of the you know, apparent red flags in the pre-draft process? Let me know in the comments below. I'll be back in two or three days with my pre-draft preview. That's hopefully going to be, you know, a longer episode detailing everything you need to know as a Wizards fan for the draft. I'm going to give my big board for six, big board for 18, prospects I like in the second round at 40. If the Wizards keep that pick, there's going to be trades for up and down. Everything you need to know will be in there. So be on the lookout for that. Let me know what you think about Bailey falling possibly in the comments. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys for all the support, obviously. And thank you for listening as always. Go Wiz.